council to break into, Chris?
Yeah, it is. And it's a good problem for us to have, not one we've had a whole lot in seasons past. And we know this season's unique in its own right. So it's a good problem, but there are other issues that are a little bit uncharted for us. So we've got some guys who we think are in really good training form and have benefited well from the lockdown. But say, Jake Colajasny, for example, hasn't played footy since the finals last year. Jack Stevens only played the Colac game in Marsh too. We didn't have the opportunity for match practice last week, which was disappointing for us, but we do have that chance this week. So we're just trying to work through whether we change a team that's in good form, albeit off only one game, and fit, when we've got the opportunity to get some match practice into those guys and take the more conservative call. But we're certainly not going to make a call that's going to compromise our best team this week, because I think even the last round showed that the competition is a little bit unpredictable, and every team with the game on their terms is going to provide some challenges. Carlton are a good example of that. They've won five quarters across their two games and really dominated the best team in the comp for a period of the game, and after being 7-0 down against Melbourne, really dominated them as well. So we're certainly not in a position where we can take liberties with our team this week.
What's the general message for the people and players who are on the cusp of senior selection but are playing in the practice match on Sunday? What do you tell them?
One of the things we talk about is the likelihood that we're going to need them. The timing around that's a little bit hard, but I say with great confidence that we've got a group of about half a dozen guys who will play good amounts of AFL football, if not most of it, this year. And also the fact that we really value training form and the match simulation that we do. The chance to do it against an opposition team this week helps a little bit, but you know, it's not a huge jump up from what we're already doing at training. So we think those guys are going to be pretty well prepared. I guess it just gives you that little bit more confidence when they've played against genuine opposition in something more like a VFL practice game. Now, there'll be fewer numbers there. It'll be a little bit different to your normal VFL game, but I think it'll help those guys get prepared, and they've just got to back in that if they're playing well enough and performing well enough at training and in those games, that the opportunity will present. And to be frank, if it doesn't prevent, we'll find a way to open up that opportunity for some of them. Yeah, he will. So he's a good example of someone who's been training for a period of time and looking pretty good within our match simulation. So we don't consider this week to be a huge step up for him. I don't think we need to get out the brass band for Nakai just yet. It'll be, you know, a couple of blocks of match sim for him against Carlton, but at least from a load perspective, it won't be a significant jump. It won't be a jump at all on what he's been doing. But we know, you know, the tension rises a little bit when you've got a genuine opposition there. So, you know, I said it's a very small step for him, but it's a significant milestone, I guess, in that, you know, he hasn't been able to do that for a very long period of time. But we don't want to put too much pressure on him. There's still quite a few steps between this week and him getting back to AFL level. And we're excited about it, but we just don't want to get prematurely optimistic, because that's proved mentally challenging for me in the past in particular. You know, we love him and we want to see him back, but we're playing the long game with Nakai, and I'm still confident he'll be a good long-term player for us. Well, that's the quandary for us. Yeah, he'll play in some capacity this week. Yeah, I'm happy to say more than likely he'll play that practice. I'm not sure what to call it, the match simulation against Carlton, 16v16, it'll probably be. And really, it's a conservative call, but it's just the fact that we've got an opportunity for him to get some match practice that he hasn't been able to get for the last 3 or 4 months. So I suspect we'll take that.
This is
I think being aware of it can't hurt, as long as you don't talk yourself into something that's not true. But yeah, I think we're always trying to put ourselves in the position of the opposition. You know, what would they be thinking? What would they be prioritising? So the glass half full approach for them is, of 7 goals down, the game was over to most observers, and really in the end they should have won. So that shows great capacity. And similar against Richmond, they outplayed them for a half, although couldn't get quite as close on the scoreboard. But all that doesn't count for much if you don't start the game well enough. So yeah, we're aware of that stuff. Whether it really shifts our approach is questionable. I think I can convince myself with a fair bit of evidence that they've played well enough in patches across the two games to say they can compete against anyone, including us. So, yeah, we're wary. No, you can't just let him go. We've never done that in my time. Just said, oh, well, let's just take him on and see what happens. Now, there's a spectrum there. You know, you can pay attention to him in certain parts of the game and take a slightly different approach in other parts, but you never completely let them go. He's a star, you know, one of the best, certainly one of the best young players in the comp, and can help them get the game on their terms. So, yeah, we've got to have a plan for him for sure. No, I don't really believe in that much. The idea of, I mean, the only time players need a wake-up call is if they're not being diligent enough in their approach and their professionalism towards their game. And that's certainly not the case with Jordan. He's a better player now than he was in round one, in my view. Certainly the way he's prepared himself, it's been exceptional for a second-year player. He's in the shape of his career. You know, he's only early in his second year with us. It was just a function of we had a pretty full list to pick from, and a few things with our mix down back and in the midfield meant that he was the one that was squeezed. If we did play Jordan, and we easily could have, you know, it was a very, very tight call, we'd just be talking about the other player that went out now instead of Jordan. So he's well aware, he's right on the edge, and he's probably, you know, the example as much as any of that player that we just won't leave him in our VFL team for too long, provided he's doing everything he can to get himself ready, which he is. Yeah, Gary Rowan's fine. Just it was an ankle rather than his knee. Just to clear that up. Josh Jenkins has got a back problem that's going to hold him up for a little bit. We're not exactly sure how long. It's a facet joint issue that can turn around really quickly or can sort of linger a little bit. It's to be honest, it's lingering a bit more than we would have liked right at the moment. So that rules him out of this week. And I'd need to get a little bit more guidance from the medical staff as to what the absolute prognosis is. But no, it's a bit of a shame for Josh because, yeah, he's in pretty good shape too. I think so, which might be a bit unfair for Jake because he's such an important player for us and been training really well, done absolutely nothing wrong. He's just been deprived of opportunity for some match practice. So I think that's the way we'll go. We haven't decided absolutely yet, but you know, the fact that this is the first chance we've got for some genuine match practice for Jake since the finals last year probably tips the balance in towards... Cujo. Hold. Have you got that lead? yeah, probably tips the balance in favour of him playing some match practice.
And just Gary, I think at the start of the year he was open saying he might play 17 out of 8 games, just was, you know, going to until last year.
Yeah.
Has that changed now with the shortened quarter? Did your view that he may put back up more?
Oh, we're open-minded to it. There are always two parts for it for us. We think that it's the right thing to be really well planned and try to, you know, estimate and forecast where things are going to land, but never at the expense of staying agile and sort of changing your mind as the evidence changes. So I think it helps him a little bit that the games are shorter and the season overall is shorter. But I still am of the view that he shouldn't play, you know, all 17 games in the home and away season. But again, that's a bit of a suck it and see thing. I'm happy to say last year, if I had my time over again, we would have taken him out before we did. So again, we don't want to overcorrect with our decision making this year, but yeah, I think that gives you a bit of an idea to our mindset when it comes to Gaz. But he's playing well. It's hard to keep him out when he's playing this way. Oh, well, I thought he was, to be honest. He says he wasn't. So his kicking penetration was a little bit down. I didn't think he was at his best physically towards the end of last year. Maybe it's the fact that he's a proud competitor and he doesn't want to use his physical status as a reason for not playing as well as he'd like to. But it's a bit of a mystery, that one, for me. He's a mysterious guy. Yeah, sort of, but there's a mysterious answer as well. So, you know, the important part, so that's the funny part, I think. The serious part is that we have had the conversation, like, we want him at his best when he plays. And we don't want to put him in a position where he's got to labour through soreness or sort of get involved in the grind of an AFL season. We want to remove that for him and a couple of our other players, so we can have him at his best when it really counts, if we're good enough to get that far. So he clearly understands that, but it didn't really clear up the end of last year for me completely. I don't want to be too strong on it, but I don't think you can start a season with a rule and change it mid-season. I know there's been that idea floated, but no, once they decided this is what the season is, this is what the season is. I wouldn't have thought that's controversial or complicated, but yeah, so to be clear, they've told us it's 16 minutes plus time on. That's what it'll be till the final siren in the grand final, and then my understanding is they'll reassess from there.
Do you feel like the time flies?
Yeah, it does. But the time between goals feels like it goes forever as well. So there's a bit of a trade-off there. It's a weird situation anyway, because there's no crowd. For a lot of reasons, it feels strange. So it's hard to sort of work out where to attribute the strangeness.